Good morning. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be looking at one of the Ten Commandments that God gave Israel. This morning we're going to look at the Ninth Commandment. So it's found over in the book of Exodus in chapter 20. Let's look at verse 16 together. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not bear false witness. Apparently God doesn't like that. Let me see if I can begin this morning with giving you an illustration as perhaps the reason why God doesn't like false witnesses. Mike and Harry were at a bar. And they had too much to drink, and they got into a heated argument, and Mike grabbed Harry around the neck, and he started to choke him. So Harry fights back, and he throws Mike off of him, and Mike goes flying across the room and hits the corner of a chair on the side of his face. The ambulance is called. When all's said and done, Mike lost his right eye. Well, Mike decided to sue Harry for the damages. And since Mike was trying to choke Harry, he kind of feared that maybe that would have an adverse effect on the outcome of the trial. So he got a couple of his buddies. Let's call them Bert and Ernie. They happened to be in the bar that night. And he got them to say that Harry punched him in the face, and that's why he lost the sight of his eye. Of course, during the trial, other witnesses, eyewitnesses, came out. Crime scene investigators, they did their thing, pieced it all back together as best they could, and they came to the conclusion, and they disproved Mike's story, as well as what Bert and Ernie had said was true. So Harry was cleared of all of his criminal and civil charges that Mike had brought to him. Well, now Mike's kind of in deep trouble. But especially Bert and Ernie, who lied for Mike. Because in our justice system, we have what's called perjury. Perjury is lying or making verifiably false statements under oath in a court of law. So perjury is a crime for a lot of reasons. One, because it's not the truth, but it would just totally wreck the credibility of the court, and justice would be thrown out the window. So perjury is a serious crime because it wants to assert the authority of the courts, and because it wants to have misjustice instead of justice. Now we know that perjury is a crime, but we also know that a lot of people lie on the witness stand about things that happen. Reminds me of a joke, and it goes like this. Persecutor: did you kill the victim? Defendant: no, I did not. Prosecutor: do you know what the penalties are for perjury? It. Yes, I do, and they're not as bad as the penalty for murder. I was curious. I Googled it up. I love to Google up things. Googled up just the word lying. 4,060,000 hits. It's going to be a long, long sermon. But let's just talk about a few in a minute. The penalty for perjury is severe. When I Googled up what perjury is, the penalty on a federal level, and I could be wrong, is up to 5 years and a lot of fines. That's what Bert and Ernie could face if they were tried today. But this Old Testament commandment came a long time ago, and things were different. In the book of Deuteronomy, if you want to turn with me over to the 19th chapter, it writes extensively on the penalty of bearing false witness against someone. Let me begin in verse 15. One witness shall not rise against a man concerning any iniquity or any sin that he commits. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter shall be established. If a false witness rises against any man to testify against him of wrongdoing, then both men in the controversy shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges who serve in those days. And the judges shall make careful inquiry. And indeed, if the witness is a false witness who has testified falsely against his brother, then you shall do to him as he thought to have done to his brother. So you shall put away the evil from among you. And those who remain shall hear and fear, and thereafter they shall not again commit such an evil among you. Your eye shall not pity. Life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. So in my little story, if Harry had been convicted of Mike losing his eye, the penalty for Harry would have been he would have lost his eye. Eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, right? By lying in court, in a real sense, Bert and Ernie were trying to knock out Harry's eye. So the penalty for perjury or bearing false witness in that day would have been Bert and Ernie would have lost their eye. See, God hates false witnesses because he hates injustice. Now, this commandment that we're talking about, as you can see, focuses primarily on a court of law, bearing a false witness against someone in a court. But it goes beyond that. Really, this commandment is about truthfulness. Dr. Scott Peck became very well known for the book, you may have read it, The Road Less Traveled. And he had a second book, it was called People of the Lie, and it detailed how at the very core of evil there's always lying. He says the evil people lie to others in order to accomplish their plans. Yeah, we understand that. Evil people lie to themselves in order to rationalize their behavior. And it's no coincidence, he says, that Jesus called Satan a liar and the father of all lies. And by contrast, Jesus said, I am the truth, and the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. You remember the Lay's potato chip commercial where they hold it up and say, I bet you can't eat just one? They're right. I could only, I could never stop with just one. Lying is a lot like that. It may be hard to tell the first lie, but once you've told the first lie, it becomes a lot easier to tell the second lie. Mark Twain, who said, the difference between a person who tells the truth and tells a lie is that the liar's got to have a better memory. Jane was visiting her mother, and they went for a walk, and they bumped into the preacher. Is this your daughter? The preacher asked. Oh, I remember her when she was just this high. Without hesitation, the mom pops up. Well, she's 24 now. Jane was flabbergasted but kept her mouth shut. When the preacher was gone, she turned to her mother and said, how could you say such a thing? I'm 35 years old. Well, she said, I've been lying about my age so long that now it finally hit me that I have to start lying about yours too. One thing to say you're 49 when you have a 20-year-old daughter, but it's a lot different to say you're 49 when she's 35 and you're not out there bragging you had a kid at 14. So Walter Scott got it right. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when we first practice to deceive. Of those 4,060,000 hits, one of them was one of the TED Talks. You ever listen to those? They're quite educational, professional talks. This one was by Pamela Meyer, who authored a book entitled Lice Spotting. She says that on any given day, I have no idea how she got these numbers, on any given day, we're lied to from 10 to 200 times. And that we, in turn, during that time, probably tell one or two lies ourselves. There was another website that was entitled The Art of Lying. Goes on to state, and I quote, lying is among the most sophisticated accomplishments of the human mind. Sounds important, doesn't it? Goes on to say, children have to be taught to lie. Think about that. And then of the other 400 million zillion that are out there, they're about lying media, lying politicians, lying co-workers, lying kids, lying men, lying women, lying, lying, lying. At the conclusion, I came up with this. Everyone's lying. And you say, but not you? Okay, are you sure? Your taxes are due in 2 weeks. What did you write down? Someone ever called and you told the person who picked up the phone, tell them I'm not here. What'd you say to the policeman when he had you roll the window down and he asked the question, did you know you were speeding? When that person tells you that gossip that you knew all about and you just answer by saying, I had no idea. Sold that car and you told that used car salesman, it's only driven occasionally. I only go to church in it. Yeah. How many times have you told your parents or your family, I'll call you right back? How big was that fish again? You go up to buy the tickets at the theater. How old are those kids that you've got? Biggest 11-year-old I've ever seen. Okay, guys, what do you answer your wives when she comes out and says, what do you think of this outfit I have on? Or that famous one, does this make me look fat? Sometimes it hurts to tell the truth. So we lie. Mrs. Fisher was recovering from surgery. She got a card from her fourth grade class. Dear Mrs. Fisher, your fourth grade class wishes you a speedy recovery by a vote of 15 to 14. We're not fourth graders. But all too often we are willing to lie rather than to speak the truth. We choose to lie. James Emery Wright wrote a book entitled You Can Experience an Authentic Life, and he cites these statistics. 91% of all Americans confess that they regularly lied. 79% had given out false phone numbers or invented new identities when meeting strangers. 20% said they couldn't get through even one day without going along with a previously manufactured lie. But Mr. White goes on, and this is his conclusion. Now, here's what I found most intriguing about the study. People no longer seem to care about lying. We accept it. It doesn't bother us. We don't get upset anymore when someone exaggerates, falsifies, fabricates, misrepresents the truth. We live in a day when we have been bombarded with the erased tapes, the tampered evidence, the illicit cover-ups, the padded resumes, the exaggerated ads, to the point that we're pretty much giving up on truth as being a viable enterprise. The study found that in the past, most people thought lying was wrong. Now almost half of Americans say it isn't wrong. I grew up watching Superman. You remember that? Not the new one, the old guy. When he was doing his superhero stuff, it was always about truth, justice, and the American way. Makes you wonder, are truth and justice still a part of the American way. And more to the point, are truth and justice hallmarks of how we as Christians ought to interact with one another? As Christians, we ought to be truth seekers and we ought to be truth speakers. You ever see that movie back in 1992, A Few Good Men? You remember that one? Even if you haven't watched it, you've seen this somewhere in a trailer on television in an ad where Tom Cruise plays that military lawyer, Lieutenant Daniel Caffey, and he's interrogating that tough guy, Jack Nicholson, who played a Colonel Nathan Jessup, and Cruise is getting nowhere, and he finally hollers out, "I want the truth!" You remember what Nicholson said? "You can't handle the truth!" Well, he's right. Truth is very difficult stuff. And sometimes it is really hard for us to handle. Someone said the truth that makes men free is for the most part the truth which men prefer not to hear. So how do we become people of truth that God wants us to be? The first is what I said. We need to be truth seekers. We need to know the truth. You're familiar with Jesus' words? Turn with me. It's over the Gospel of John in chapter 14, verse 6. At least this part of it you've always heard. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now think about that for a second. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Truth isn't a set of information. Truth is a person. Truth is Jesus. And the truth is revealed in Jesus Christ. So we can't know the truth if we don't know Jesus Christ. And we can't know Jesus Christ unless we're in a relationship with Him and we obey Him. And apart from the revelation that we have about Jesus in the Bible here, we have no truth. And this whole book from Genesis to Revelation is really all about Jesus. Because He wants us to seek Him, be truth seekers. But it's not enough just to know Jesus. And it's not enough just to know the words of the Bible. But a lot of people who know the Bible, a lot of people claim to be Christians, but they've never really been honest enough with themselves to apply the truths of that book to themselves. They're kind of like blind spots in your brain. You don't want to hear about those things that are concerning you. We like our sins, and we don't want anybody messing around with them. So we set them aside and hide them, even from ourselves. So what is the truth that God wants all of us to know that perhaps we don't want to hear? It's simple. He wants us to know that we're sinners. He wants us to know that because we are sinners, we stand condemned to an eternity in a flamy place. But we want to keep, and we would hope that God would keep, the dirtiness of our little secret a secret. But God wouldn't be very loving if He didn't step in and point it out to us. And despite what we want to think, we are sinners. Over the book of Proverbs in chapter 14, verse 12, it says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" God tells us the truth, and in doing so, gives us an opportunity to correct it. Someone said, before the truth can set you free, it'll make you mad. Think about that for a moment. People need the truth in order to lead them to realize they're a sinner and they need to repent. change, be baptized to have the sins removed. We need to be truth seekers. But secondly, we need to be truth speakers. How many times have I quoted Acts 2:38? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yes, upon that point of being immersed, our sins are removed. But there's a second part that we don't often think and talk about. In becoming a Christian, we have the gift or the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Turn over to John chapter 14, beginning in verse 15. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. This helper, depending on your version, may say comforter. Says, it is the Spirit of truth. As a baptized believer, a Christian, I have dwelling within me the Spirit of truth, the comforter, the helper, the Holy Spirit. John expounds on that thought. Turn over to the book of 1 John, chapter 2, verse 21. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Lying and truth do not go together. No lie is of the truth, it says. Why is God excited and mad when we lie? Because in the first place, lying is evidence that I remain my old self. Means I don't have the life-changing Spirit of truth within me, or if he's within me, I'm not allowing it to control me. And secondly, speaking the truth is evidence that I have the Spirit of truth in me. That the Spirit of truth is in control of me. And that it should flow out of my life. Truth. Then why do we still lie? If we're continually lying, it brings into question whether we have the presence of the Spirit of truth and the Holy Spirit within us and in control of us. Turn with me over to the book of Colossians. The third chapter, beginning in verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. God wants us to be truth speakers because it's evidence that our life has changed and because you now have the Spirit of truth working within you. He wants us to be truth speakers because that's the only way societies can thrive. Think for a moment. What would it be like in this world if no one ever told the truth? What would it be like in our families if that forsaking all others and loving you till death do us part was all a lie? What happens to our justice system if when they say, do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and that's all a lie? What happens to the very sinew that binds us together if we slander one another, if we break our promises and our commitments and our contracts, if we bear false witness against each other? In a society, we don't need to wait to be destroyed from without. A society like that destroys itself from within. Over to the book of Ephesians in the fourth chapter, beginning in verse 15, we have some instructions. goes like this in part. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That's a lot of words. What's he saying in simple terms? Christ is saying we have to be telling the truth of Christ in love in our world, in our country, in our community, in our families. Because in doing so, then we can grow up together, united in our love of Christ. Kids used to shout a slogan, went something like this. Liar, liar, pants on fire, your nose as long as a telephone wire. That goes way back. My kids were different. They didn't cite that. And they didn't exactly know Scripture. But they knew it was in there. And if you have your Bibles, turn over to the book of Revelation, right at the very end. 22nd chapter. They'd sit in the back seat, the three of them, and they would fight tooth and nail. They'd listen to each other and they'd argue back and forth, and they would turn to each other and say, liar, liar, you know where liars go. They got it from these verses, beginning in verse 14. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters. And whoever loves and practices a lie. We probably have turned to somebody and said, liar, liar. I don't know whether we continued and said, and I know where liars go, and so do you. According to this, liars are not in heaven. They're in the other place. Hell. And we don't want to go there. So let's determine to be truth speakers as well as truth seekers. Exodus 20, verse 6. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. This morning we're going to sing a song of invitation. Christ invites you to take on.